Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. It's good to be back and to be among you today to worship and celebrate who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. That's a statement that calls for something deeper than mere speculation. Specifically, when we end up with ideas about who Jesus is, as speculated by the apostles in this story, we are sometimes without an answer. But Peter gets it right, and Jesus commends him for his belief. On that rock of belief, the church will be built. Not because he got the right answer, but because that answer was ingrained in his very being. And Peter reminds us that perfection is unlikely, but we can try. The world is not any more in tune with who Jesus is than the historic world was. Unfortunately, there's speculation, there's talk. Well, you know, Jesus was, he was a nice guy. He liked peace. You know, go Jesus. WWJD. All those things that we try to think of and say to figure out who Jesus is. He's not a myth. He's not just a nice guy. He's not a prophet without being anything but a prophet. But even when Jesus is recognized as a prophet, it's in a context that puts him less than Messiah. It's great to say that Jesus was a great prophet, but when it's instead of saying Jesus was the Messiah, we start speculation again. So, why is Jesus so adamant about telling his apostles not to tell anyone? Don't tell him this. He sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone. Why didn't he just go out and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm Jesus"? He does to a certain extent, but it's usually in small groups. He doesn't really assert himself as the Messiah in the society at large. And guess what? That's true of us today. As many churches as successful or as many people as proclaim the gospel, there's still a disconnect between Jesus being Messiah and being anything else. I am who you seek, says Jesus. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Knowing Jesus as Messiah is not something that comes from convincing someone of that fact. When you try to teach something to someone, you can repeat the facts over and over again, and the student may still not be able to understand, but eventually may be able to recite by rote the lesson. We have to understand. It has to go deeper than just hearing. It has to go deeper than words. We have to be able to discern the teaching that is being taught by the gospel and be able to apply it meaningfully, in a way that answers aren't just simple rote memorization. You can tell someone 100 times that Jesus is the way, the Son of God, the Messiah. But until that person finds the answer, not through our testimony, but from a deep inner understanding of Jesus as Messiah. Jesus knew that believing who he was could not be believed from just a testimony by his disciples. Believing had to come from the heart. and soul of the listener. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Words of the disciples, our words, their invitations. They may be actions, people noticing something that we say or do that emulates Jesus. Invitations. Invitations to search. To search from a place in your soul, not just from words on a page. If we preach the gospel but do not live it, how can we expect anyone to accept our invitation to know Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? When we go into the world to love and serve the Lord, what does that mean? How do you translate words into action in our lives, in our relationship, in your relationship with God? When we tell people that St. Francis is building onto our church, that we are growing ideas of a place where the Spirit can dwell and we can dwell with that Spirit, do we mean that we're building a beautiful building? Or do we mean that we are building a place to be in relationship with God? And you all are the rock of this church that will make this church go forward. We're in a place where, in the world, where we can't just declare that Jesus is so much more than, as the disciple said, John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets or Jeremiah. He is so much more than a nice guy, so much more than a preacher of love and kindness, so much more than a scriptural disciplinarian who keeps us focused. The question is do we stand on the rock of belief that this church will survive, that what we want to do will be built? We will if it comes from the place of the Spirit. We won't if we just talk about it. Well, just something you may or may not know about me is that I am a list maker. Where is Jesus on my list? Is he at the top, somewhere in the middle, or is Jesus at the bottom of my list of life's priorities? I even make lists of lists, and just this is evidence of my compulsion. This is the list from before I went to the beach, getting ready, okay? There's not room for much else, but I'll give you a dollar if you can find Jesus on there. So I put lists in different places, put them on my calendar, on a notepad, and even maybe on a post-it note or sometimes a napkin. When there is a list of lists, I get really specific about how the items are prioritized. And if I were to look at all my past lists, I would find that Jesus is rarely, if ever, the first thing on any of them. Saying that I'm going to do something is not enough. Writing it on a list is not enough. Enough is when Jesus is at the top of every list we make. At the top. I'm going to have to work on that. So each day I invite you to continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to be present in this place, to fill and surround you. To remember the prayer of the Holy Spirit as we go forth into the changing of what this, the essence of what this place called St. Francis is about. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, that they shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful. In the same Spirit, help us to know what is truly right and always rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.